Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts, the new talk. This is podcast 382, and we are in a place called Rock Hill, Maryland, which is on the eastern shore. This shore is the Chesapeake Bay. The other side is the Atlantic Ocean in Maryland. And this has a little story behind it, which I'll get to in this podcast. This has been one of those days that has been very trying. If you travel at all, you know that there are days when things are just really difficult. They don't come together right. Speaking of Mercury retrograde, even though Mercury is no longer in retrograde, we're in the shadow period between June 11th and June 21st or so. And boy, did I feel the effects of that today. So you get into any kind of travel, you're going to have days that things just don't work. So I'm very frustrated right now. I'm sitting inside the vehicle. I'll tell you why in a second. So that little hum is my fan that I'm using because I can't turn the diesel on because I'm in a campground with about 100 million old people. And if I crank up the diesel, it will cause all sorts of problems. I really wanted to be outside, but it's too windy. So I'm inside the podcast mobile command center, and I'm going to start with something good that happened. And honestly, I'm not quite sure when this happened, but it happened at a day that I was at the beach. I decided to go to the beach, the Atlantic beach, because I wanted to do this whole coast-to-coast thing. You guys know I went out west, I went to California, I went to the beach, and I drove the Pacific Coast Highway, and I wanted to have a picture of the vehicle sitting on the Atlantic Ocean, which I did, went to the Atlantic Ocean, great, got that done. So, you know, I'm really working hard at working out what's necessary to do this whole untethered thing. And you guys are kind of on that journey with me. And there are frustrating days trying to do this, not the least of which is trying to find a Wi-Fi connection. And the other thing is, because I do yoga, the other part is finding yoga studios. The other thing is, this is not an RV. This is a great vehicle. I love it. Ed Johnson at exgovernmentcars.com got it for me. We both think it's the greatest, and it is. It's a great vehicle, but it's not an RV, and there are issues because it isn't an RV, and I'm learning that, and I'm making a list of what I need to do in here, and I'm learning every day the drawbacks of that this isn't an RV. But I do have all my studio equipment with me. I have my studio mics, I have my mixer, I have the computer, I have everything with me. And Ed sent me a note that said, hey, I need two new commercials for radio. Can you do them? Now, keep in mind, this is broadcast standards and all that kind of nonsense, technically. And a lot of people, when they go mobile, they just take their digital recorder or maybe something like what I'm using tonight, a little USB mic, which they think is just fine. But you can't do really great podcasts without the gear. And that was the whole idea of having the podcast command vehicle, was room to put all the gear and make it work and everything else. Well, that stuff works. So Ed sent me two spots, and I was like, he goes, can you do these in the vehicle? Now, I'm at the beach when I get this email. And I emailed back, well, I guess I'll give it a shot and we'll see. Now, I'm at a public beach on the Maryland side, or no, was it Virginia? I guess I was in Maryland. I was near Ocean City at the beach. And honestly, I don't even remember where, because it was after I did the podcast about the helicopters, podcast 381. So I know I was in OC, Ocean City. Oh, I know where I was. No, I wasn't there. Honestly, I think I was still in Virginia when I did this, because I went looking. I know where I was. After I did the podcast about Norfolk, I went down south of there because I wanted to find a pristine beach. I had this image in my head that I could not get rid of me sitting on this perfect, because the sand is beautiful in Virginia, it's just beautiful. I had this perfect image of sitting on the beach, it's beautiful beach, and I went south until I found one. And then I went there. Well, it was a very crowded beach anyway. So I had the vehicle parked at the beach, and I had all the doors open, and I get this email, can you do a spot? And I thought, well, you know, I could certainly try. So, you know, I had problems with insects when I was down in Virginia. I left the doors open, and the light was on in here, and I got in here, and it was just full of mosquitoes and other creatures. And I borrowed a hairdryer and blew them out, and it was nuts. And there are no screens. So I was at the beach, and I thought, well, what's the worst that can happen? I'm at the beach. There's no bugs here. There's a big, heavy breeze. They'll just blow in and blow out. So I opened up the doors, both doors, and I kept the windows down and sat out there on the beach. And so I kept an eye on the vehicle and everything, but I had everything open. So I thought after a while, you know, I'd been out there for a while, and I thought, well, I got a good sunburn now. I think I'll go do the spots. You know, I'll see if I can do them from the vehicle. So I come into the vehicle, and it's full of flies. Thank God. And there were dragonflies. I tried to take a nap, and a dragonfly flew in, which scared me to death. They're big, dumb things, but they're gigantic, and they buzz. Anyway, so I finally got all the flies cleared out, or at least I thought I did. And I had to get everything ready. I had to close the vehicle up to do the voice work for the spots. And there was a kid squalling in the car next to mine, and the flies were still in here. And on top of all that, it was about 96 degrees out there at the beach. And as soon as I closed all the doors and it was quiet in here, it kind of felt like a yoga studio in here. It was that loud. I mean, that hot. So I just want to play you. I'm going to play two spots in this podcast, and I'm going to prove to myself, yes, I can do studio quality work in the vehicle under really difficult conditions. So this is the first ex-government car spot I did in the vehicle, and then later on in the podcast, I'll play the other one. ExGovernmentCars.com now carries trucks. That's right, they now carry a full line of trucks and SUVs. ExGovernmentCars.com is the only dealer that carries one-owner government fleet vehicles, always professionally maintained. You never know what you're getting at the other dealers. ExGovernmentCars.com has easy car loans for everyone at all credit levels, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Everyone's approved. Apply online safely and securely 24/7 at exgovernmentcars.com. Get your butt down to exgovernmentcars.com, 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley for the best deals on cars, trucks, and SUVs.
exgovernmentcars.com.
Get your butt down to exgovernmentcars.com, 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley for the best deals on cars, trucks, and SUVs.
exgovernmentcars.com.
Let me just say, there's a lot of things on my mind, and there won't be any politics in this podcast. I'm certainly aware of what's going on, but I want to talk about untethering, and I want to talk about small town America, and I want to talk about some of the things that I'm encountering out here in small town America. So that's where I am. For some reason, traveling out west was easier. I think part of it was I stayed a lot on the interstates, or I was in areas that were developed. And California does not have a Wi-Fi problem. You know, that is not one of the problems that California has. Almost everywhere you go, they have really high-speed internet with Wi-Fi connections that work. And this trip out east is just a little bit different. That's the first thing. The second thing is the travel distances are very short, so what I've been doing is really taking my time, traveling from place to place to place. And I've been a lot of places in the last 48 hours. And honestly, right now, I can't remember where I was. It's really interesting because Sonny's husband told me when I was in Napa, he was like, you need to take really copious notes because you're going to forget where you were. Well, I have. And it really irritates me when I'm trying to talk about something and I can't remember specifically where I was. But here's the way I'm going to do this. I'm just going to make the point, and you really don't care where I was anyway. I know where I was, kind of. I know what part of the country I'm in, kind of. And I know what kind of problems that I'm encountering for various reasons. And why is that important? Well, as I said, I'm working on this untethered thing. I certainly have a place in Minneapolis, as I've said more than once, and I fully intend to go back to it. And I don't intend to live out of this thing because this thing is not going to work for that. This is not an RV. That's the first thing to make note of. And it's going to take a lot of improvements to make it even close to being an RV-worthy device. First of all, I'm going to have to get some screens to Velcro in so I can open the doors. And anyway, I could go on and on about that stuff. That's the first thing. But it's very interesting when you start untethering the problems that you find that you end up wasting a lot of time on. And the bane of my existence is Wi-Fi and internet connections. And it doesn't matter whether you're at a relative's house or whether you're at a store. Wi-Fi is very spotty and the internet speeds are very spotty. It doesn't matter where you are. Okay? So let me just quickly tell you where, in the last couple of days, see if I can remember where I was and some of the things that I saw. Because I really am in small town America, and I'm visiting small towns, and I'm encountering things in small towns that really make me think about a lot of things. I mean, first of all, I guess I'll start with this. First of all, there is a massive opportunity and remains a massive opportunity in making the internet and telephones and devices and Wi-Fi and all of the interconnective tissue that is the internet faster and making it work better. Not only that, there is a huge opportunity with small business people to make their websites clear and definitive and useful, especially on smartphone devices. Because what happens is people are using their smartphones while they're driving to try to answer critical questions while they're driving. I'm doing it all day. I've been doing it all day today. So that's the first thing that I want to point out. The Wi-Fi thing is really becoming a problem. I think I have a solution. I'm not going to say what it is. I don't even know if I will say what it is until I use it and see if it works. But I have a couple, and it's not the Wi-Fi antenna, by the way, although that has helped a little bit. But the whole internet connection problem thing is the bane of my existence right now. You end up driving miles out of your way to try to find an internet connection, which brings me, or to do yoga, which brings me to what's going on tonight and today. So in my travels, you know, when I was traveling out west, if I was on the interstate, any time of the night or day, I could pull into a Flying J or, you know, a Sapp Brothers or whatever. And I didn't always do it, but go in, take a shower, do what I needed to do, get fueled, go on their Wi-Fi, even if I had to pay for it, upload the podcast, get my work done. So you find yourself stopping at truck stops, which you heard, you know, okay? And that irritated me. I don't like that. Because, number one, I don't particularly like the truck stops. There are nice ones, but there's things about truck stops that are really frustrating. Number one is the country music, and number two is the fact that they have televisions on all the time. It drives me nuts. That's the first thing. And you just got to let that go. You know, if you're going to travel, you're going to see that, and you got to let it go. The second thing is yoga. And this brings me to my plan is, instead of having to have a shower and everything in the vehicle, I'll just stop and do yoga at places and take showers at the yoga places. Well, in California, there's yoga places all over the place. In Virginia and Maryland, it's spotty. And this is what I learned today. I have to switch hands with the mic. Let me just tell you what's been going on the last 24 hours. So after I went to see my nephew who's flying helicopters at the naval base, you heard that podcast, I decided to head up to Ocean City. And let me just talk about Ocean City. Ocean City, Maryland is a magical place. It is a magical place if you're 17 years old. It was a magical place for people living all over the East Coast in the 60s and 70s, when it probably was at its peak, I guess, even though right now it is at its peak. But if you go back and listen to the podcast I did a few years ago, I think in 2010, where I toured the Jersey Coast, that's kind of what Ocean City is like, except it's really in one place. By the way, Virginia Beach, Virginia is a similar place, although Ocean City is a classic working class East Coast beach town, and it's gigantic. So I get into Ocean City. I stopped at a Starbucks and sent Ed the commercials. So that was another thing. You have to look for a Starbucks because they had the fastest internet. And I had to drive until I could find a Starbucks, pulled in there. Then you got to go in and you order a cup of coffee, get your, you know, steal the internet, send your thing, blah, 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 blah. So I drive into Ocean City. Well, it is senior week in Ocean City. So that means kids from Baltimore and Washington and Philadelphia and all over this region are in Ocean City. And some of them have their parents and some of them don't have their parents with them. Some of them have the parents' car. And so I drive into Ocean City and I love this. I thought this was great. It is like Manhattan. I mean, literally, it's bumper to bumper. It took me over an hour to go up whatever it is, the coastal highway. And I just kept going until I got out of the traffic. And I guess I went all the way to Delaware, and I went to Bethany Beach. And Bethany Beach, I was so tired, and I thought, okay, I was hungry, I was tired. I pulled in to a place, went in and had a salad. And one of the things I've been doing right is eating right. Like, I haven't been eating bad food. Like, I do the beef jerky or the nuts. And then when I want to eat, I actually have a salad, and, you know, that's what I've been doing. Came back into the vehicle and took a nap. So I slept for about an hour and a half or so. And then I thought, late at night, I will drive back down to OC. I found a Bikram yoga place in Ocean City. And what I'll do is I'll drive back to the Bikram yoga place late tonight and park in the Bikram yoga place parking lot and crash. Well, I was really tired. And I thought, no. I want to be near the beach. I don't want to be sitting in some parking lot. I want to be near the beach. So I'm driving along, and, you know, the whole thing with Ocean City is they want you in resorts, they want you in trailer homes, they want you in high rises, they want you in all these different places. So I ended up finally at about 134th Street. And if you go to Ocean City, you'll know the center of Ocean City is around 45th or 40th Street, and I was all the way up at 154th or something Street, but it was near the beach. But here's the thing. All along those high-rises and hotels, it's restricted parking. And if you park there, they'll arrest you. Literally. If you're sleeping in your car, they'll arrest you. So I finally found a place that looked like they were working on it. So I pulled in there, and I stayed up for a while. I went down to the beach and, you know, had a little snack. And then I thought, you know, I think I can probably go to sleep. And I actually slept about 8 hours. So that was last night. And I got up this morning. And the cool thing about doing this is you meet really neat people. There was a woman who lived in that building whose name was Betty, and she had retired from the post office, and she lived in this building, and she lives there year round. And we got to talking, and she wanted to know she didn't even know what's a podcast. And I explained it to her, and I said, boy, I hope I didn't, you know. She said, oh no, you can park here. But if you go down around 50th Street in Ocean City and you're sleeping in your car, they'll take you to jail. They don't like that. So it's a good thing I didn't go down too far. So that's where I stayed last night. And this morning I made my coffee and I went down to the beach and I had my coffee and it was great. And then I took off. So again, the whole purpose for stopping in Ocean City was I'm going to go to this yoga place. So then I head out to find the yoga place, which on their website said all this great stuff, blah, 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 blah. And this is where we get to this updating your website thing. It took me a long time to find this place. It was way down on Route 50, almost to, you know, and remember, it's Sunday. So it was almost to Route 50. It was on Route 50, almost to, almost way out of town. And I pull in there, and of course, it's some new thing, and they didn't have any classes. So I thought, okay, I'll just go to the next one. So I'm driving down Route 50 and checking all these places, Easton, Maryland, Salisbury, Maryland, trying to find a yoga place. And of course, everyone I went to either was closed or went to something else, but their websites were still current. And I'm really getting frustrated because this is my shower. And by now, you know, I'm pretty rank. I'm sweaty. It's 90 degrees. And I refuse to turn the AC on because it uses too much diesel. So especially those of you who are contributing to the Bob Davis podcast using that big yellow donate button, I'm being frugal. You know, I'm not using that money to run air conditioning. So each little place that I'm stopping at, I'm trying to find the yoga place, and all of them, no luck, no joy on the yoga place at all. So I'm going through all these little towns across Maryland. And the good part of this travel difficulty is you end up seeing some really amazing things. You see some really amazing towns. If you ever decide to come out east, first of all, I would advise that you do it after June, because the first 2-3 weeks of June, everybody is doing this because their kids are off and they need to take them on vacation before their hockey and their baseball camp stuff starts and the camp stuff. So usually it's the first week of June. As soon as they get out of school, boom, we're on the road. We take vacation. So there's a lot of people from Baltimore and Washington, D.C. and Richmond and Virginia, I mean, all over the place, taking their vacation. So the campgrounds are full. The hotels are full. And I couldn't find a yoga place. But I did find a bunch of really cool small towns. Salisbury, Maryland is really cool. And in my memory, it wasn't that great, but it's turned into a really great place. Lots of great restaurants and places to go. Easton, Maryland, I thought was really nice. Really a cool place. I mentioned that place in the other podcast, Cape Charles. That's way down on the Virginia side of this peninsula. So if you come in through Virginia and you come all the way down to Richmond and you come up through the tunnel at Newport News, Norfolk, then you're going to come all the way up on 13 North and travel all the way up this peninsula. It's really amazing. And there are tons of really cool little towns. And if you like little towns, they're great. So I'm kind of in a bad mood. I'm just in a bad mood. And I thought, well, I'll find a campground. They have showers at campgrounds. But I've got to find an RV campground that has a shower and that has Wi-Fi so I can upload this podcast that I'm going to do later on. And one after another was in the crapper. So finally, I come all the way down. Now, you have to know where I am. If you look at a map, so Easton, Salisbury, Chesterton, they're all on one side. And then to get to Rock Hill, it's down and over. It's right on the Chesapeake Bay. And this looked like a really good campground because it was literally on the bay. So my back doors are facing the Chesapeake Bay, and I can see ships out there, and it's beautiful out there tonight. As soon as I finish this podcast, I'm going to go out there. I could not get these people on the phone, and they said, don't call us, just send us an application. So I went to first restaurant I went to, I had lunch at, their Wi-Fi didn't work. See what I'm saying? So I went across the street to the coffee place. Their Wi-Fi was really, really slow, but okay. The small towns really have a problem with Wi-Fi. So I found this campground because I got tired of looking it up on my phone and then headed down here on really lonely state roads. And I just want to say a couple things about Maryland, and I want to say a couple things about what I'm seeing, because I think that's the best part of all this. If you're from the northern part of the United States, Wisconsin, Minnesota, we're not up there getting the real intense heat, and it's already summer here. It was 95 today, and I'm driving around with the windows down because, aside from the fact that I don't want to run the AC, I love that feeling of the wind and the hot wind and the hot sun burning my skin as I drive. The fields are golden with wheat and hay. It's not wheat, it's hay for the cattle. And the corn is now rising very quickly because it's hot and humid, really humid. It's about 95 and probably 80% humidity. So it's really hot and really humid. And it's just shimmering, beautiful heat. And tonight, as I headed down to Rock Hill on all these country roads, and I kept making wrong turns, which was frustrating, but it took me past some amazing things. First of all through this region, you still see a lot of damage from the hurricane. So there's a lot of weather-beaten garages and houses and barns and places that have kind of, they're wrecks. You know, they've abandoned them. And this beautiful hay that is golden in the sun, and these farms have a certain look in that part of the world. And here they have a certain look. Here, and this is important, people have been farming down here, and there have been plantations and big farms in Maryland and in Virginia and this part of the world and on this peninsula for over 200 years, like before the Revolution time. So these farms are amazing when you see them. There are wineries, of course, but then there are these huge spreads with the driveway. And in the Midwest, you know, the driveway is the gravel driveway and it heads to the farm, right? Here, the gravel driveway is lined with trees and it leads back to the stately looking home that was built 300 years ago. I mean, literally, That's what it's like. And it's really worth seeing. If you ever take a trip out east, come not in the fall. I mean, the fall, it's beautiful. But if you come in the summer, be prepared for it to be hot. But I think this is a really good time because it's a very fecund time. I mean, you can see things growing. You can smell that hay growing. You can, and there aren't that, I don't see many, a lot of livestock around here. This is really, I don't know what they're growing the hay for, wheat or whiskey or something. I don't know. I don't think I saw a cow all day long. So I just pulled in. It was storming. A storm blew up. This beautiful storm blew up. It blew in from the west and headed out to sea. And I pulled into this campground and I haven't seen anyone. I just pulled in here. I haven't seen anyone. And, you know, I mean, it has a shower, thank God, and it has really fast internet, which is really all I need. So this is the way my day has gone, and this is the way my day kind of ended. And that was, after all of this effort to get somewhere where I could relax, take a shower, change my clothes, and do a podcast and upload a podcast. And I knew safely that I could work as late as I wanted it, and there'd be that I wouldn't be sitting in the parking lot of a Flying J or a Wi-Fi, you know, like McDonald's or Starbucks or someplace like that. So I found this campground, and it's beautiful out there. I mean, it's pitch black. I can't wait to go outside. So it's relaxing. And when you travel, you learn, you pack the car or the truck or whatever you're traveling in, and of course things move around and you open up boxes, and you know, over time the thing gets completely disarrayed. So I was reorganizing all my cables and everything, and I have a little light that I use, that I just use when I, because I have two different sources of power in this thing. One is the diesel, so that I have to turn the diesel on, turn all the switches on, and then I can run the fluorescent lights and the overhead brights and the air conditioning and everything. And then I have an inverter that runs the electricity. So I have a light plugged into the inverter, and I have this little tiny light that I bought at Target. I really like it. It's right over the console and the microphones and everything else. And when I was cleaning everything up, I dropped it and I broke the light bulb. And 2 days ago, as I was at a store someplace in the middle of nowhere, I don't even remember where it was, someplace in the Virginia, way down on 13 in Virginia someplace, and I bought two light bulbs because I thought, what if I drop that thing? And so I dropped the light and got it all cleaned up and took out my backup light bulbs, and they don't fit. So now I'm plunged into complete darkness, which is why I'm using the portable mic. And the other reason is I have to do it inside because I can't see what I'm doing, which is, the plan was I was going to put all the other microphones and everything outside, and I can't do that. So that's how frustrating it gets. So I'm sitting here in the pitch black, lit only by the computer screen, doing this podcast, and I'm glad you've been patient. It's also been a stream of consciousness podcast, in the sense that I'm sort of just relating my experiences of the day and talking about that. But let me just give you a couple of key points. You know, it's odd because this podcast is kind of becoming about untethering and the problems that you encounter. Margaret Martin commented on my website that it reminds me of the reporters who used to have to trouble filing stories back in the 1860s and 70s from out west, because they had to find a telegraph operator that could transpose what they'd written, or they had to find a telegraph, you know, that this is the same thing. There's a lot of opportunity with that. The other thing is, okay, so I'm on the Delmarva Peninsula. I'm on the Chesapeake Bay side of the Maryland coast, and this is as rural as it gets right here, dotted with these really classic, beautiful small towns that date back 200 some years, more, sometimes 300 years, no lie. So that's how long people have been wandering around here and farming here and doing business here. And we're in the middle of one of the most populated centers in the country, really: New York, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Atlanta, Richmond, and Point South. That's where we are. And yet, in spite of all that density that is nearby, we are in this beautiful rural part of the country. And it's worth mentioning. The other thing I want to mention again People ask me this all the time, and I'm coming to the conclusion that, and I have to take a shot. I'm not trying to take a shot at the media. That's really not my intention. But I don't think things are as bad as what the media says. Now, I've been in a lot of places in this year and the year before. I mean, I have gone to out west, California. The only place I haven't been is the Northwest. I haven't been to the Northeast. I haven't been to Florida. I haven't been to Georgia. I haven't been into the Carolinas, which is on the list. But I have pretty much been all over the middle part of this country, and now the middle part of the Eastern Seaboard, you know. And I see a lot of new cars. I see a lot of really nice houses that I couldn't even afford. I see a lot of small towns that don't seem to be struggling too much. I see a lot of this adaptation. I see a lot of people opening new businesses that do different things, coffee places or internet places or whatever. And there's so much opportunity for new technologies and so forth. But I guess the point that I'm trying to make is I'm not seeing this dire situation that this country is in. I still am an optimist about America, but I see on the media, these kids today, and what are they thinking about, and what are they doing, and all these horrible things that people are doing, and all these terrible things, policemen breaking into police stations and killing and blowing things up, and all this terrible stuff going on. And if you watch that all the time, you would literally think the country was coming apart at the seams. And driving, and now it isn't. It used to be, I thought, well, maybe you're on the interstate, and because of that, you're really just not seeing what's really going on. Yeah, there's places like Baltimore and Detroit, and there are poor areas of the country. But guys, I got to tell you, I'm not feeling that the talking points about the country coming apart at the seams is necessarily true. The churches still stand. There are still signs in small towns about the ice cream socials and the church thing. There are still people tending bar down at the American Legion because they still like to do that. There are still people looking out for each other, looking out for their friends and their relatives. There are still places where you drive through town and you see people having their town celebration. It doesn't feel like it's falling apart at the seams. I don't feel this great, horrible tension. Maybe because it's summer. I don't know. But I feel it's important to point that out. And I'm running a little long, but that's the one takeaway from today. And I had a bad day and a difficult day today. But it's the one takeaway from today. I kept thinking to myself, where's all this bad stuff that's supposedly happening? And Ocean City, Maryland is a melting pot of all kinds of people. And are there problems in Ocean City? Are there drunk people walking the street? Yeah, but it's also funny because you can tell what town people are from. You can see, they must be from Pittsburgh or they must be from Baltimore, especially if you've lived out here for any length of time. Because you can spot people from Baltimore a mile away. There's all different kinds of cars with these people with their. I saw these two dudes from West Virginia driving this hopped up diesel pickup truck, which is, I guess, the big thing in rural areas, is having a pickup truck with a monster diesel engine in it. I don't understand that. Or, the little cars people seem to be doing their thing and they seem to be happy. And so I'm going to leave you with that because I had a tough day, but in spite of it all, I'm seeing a country that, despite the weather-beaten barn or weather-beaten house here in places that were damaged by a hurricane a few years ago, these towns are looking pretty good, and the people in them are looking pretty good, and people smile, and they seem to be happy. And it isn't just resort towns that I'm talking about. It's these little places I'm going to. When you watch television, when you read a lot of media, when you concentrate on national news, when you concentrate on national trends, you're left with the idea that the American people have a monolithic face. It's one people, and this is what the American people say, and this is what the American people say, and this is what's going on in this country, and this is how people are. But the reality is, you really get a sense of the locality of these places when you travel and you go down the two-lane highway. You really get a sense that every little place really is a precinct, and every little place is a basic political unit on its own, and those people have different issues. The people in Ocean City, in their basic political unit discussions, have different kinds of issues than the people living in Indiana or the people living out here in on the Eastern Shore. So everywhere you go, even if it's sparsely populated, you see people living their lives, doing their things. I saw a guy out tonight, you know, he had a really tight farm. It was really well put together, and he was tending their garden. And, you know, he was a young guy, and he had his kids out there with him and his wife, and they were working on the garden. And I don't know what their story is, but I thought to myself, you know, that guy has different issues for his life than the guy living in Ocean City running the pizza parlor, right? Who runs three or four pizza parlors in Ocean City and lives in a trailer all summer long behind the place. And that's what you're seeing, these little micro places with little micro issues and ideas. We are not one people. We are not an equal people. We are not a monolithic culture. There are as many different places in this country as there are that you can count and visit and see. And they're all different and they're all unique, and they have different ways of talking and different ways of expressing themselves and different, see, I'm starting to talk like them, and different stories. And it's really, really, really interesting. You know, I'm starting to talk to people as well, because people come up and talk to me because of the van and the ambulance and whatever it is. And they ask questions and they want to know. And then I hear their story. I talked to a woman out on the Virginia side of the peninsula who just opened a coffee place. And she said, well, I'm trying to, they looked up my URL while I was in there getting coffee, because I was uploading a podcast from their parking lot. And she was like, well, I'm a socialist and we're just trying to figure out which way you lean. And I said, you know, that's the problem, is the way we lean. That's our issue. You know, why don't you listen to what I do, and let's not put each other in a category. But she said, it was funny, because she said, you know, it's funny because I'm becoming a capitalist, because I'm a small businesswoman now, and I'm becoming a capitalist. And I thought that was funny. So everywhere you go, there's great stories about, you know, every single one of these people has a story. And it's a uniqueness. There's a uniqueness to Ocean City. There's a uniqueness to the Eastern Shore, just as much as there's a uniqueness to Western Virginia or West Virginia, or the place you live, your town, your precinct, your neighborhood, your state is unique. I don't know that I feel anymore that I could say this country, ... fill in the blank. And I'm going to leave you with that thought, because that's a positive thought. I think it's a good thought. Thanks to Ed Johnson for sponsoring this podcast from XGovernmentCars.com. And here's the other commercial I did from the inside of this vehicle at the beach. I was talking with Ed Johnson, owner over at XGovernmentCars.com, about his business the other day. I learned he really loves taking care of his customers. Ed offers a 3-day love-it guarantee at XGovernmentCars.com, friendly sales staff, and over 30 lenders to get everyone approved on their car loan. When you shop XGovernmentCars.com for your next vehicle, you can click online and apply for a car loan safely and securely and be pre-approved in minutes. XGovernmentCars.com carries the best government and fleet vehicles direct to you. You never know what you're going to get at other dealers. I think it's time for you to get your butt down to
XGovernmentCars.com.
XGovernmentCars.com. Apply for financing at
XGovernmentCars.com.
Get your butt down to XGovernmentCars.com, 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley, for the best deals on cars, trucks, and SUVs. XGovernmentCars.com. Got to thank the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast, Mad Case Studios. What they do is original automotive artwork. So you have a painting or picture of a vehicle that you really liked, and it's really special and it's really great. Go to Mad Case's Facebook page. If you click on the ad at the top of the BobDavisPodcast.com, it takes you to their Facebook page. You can interact with Ken and see what they do. It's great stuff. Also want to thank you for listening on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, and the granddaddy of podcasting, iTunes, the Bob Davis Podcast, served up on all of those services. Thank you for listening right on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. You can listen and click on the banner or the little player right underneath each podcast, and it plays right on the page. Love it when you do that. And thanks for subscribing and listening and commenting and so forth on all of the services, as well as Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, etc., etc., etc. I'm getting kind of tired, so I think I'm going to quit. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 392.